know those cars that you like pull back on them and you let go and they go? You guys know how that principle works? There's a spring inside, and when you pull back on that car, it tightens the spring. And so when you let go, there's so much tension in the spring, it releases, and then it causes the car to go. I bring this up because right now I feel like that spring. So I'm going to try not to release the spring and go really, really fast in my sermon today. But if I do, just kind of be like, slow down. It's okay. It is good to see everybody today. Bible reading is going well. We are approximately more than one third of the way through. So if you are all caught up on the reading this week, congratulations. Keep doing well. Keep reading. We got a lot of Psalms today. We're gonna this week. We've got Judges, and apparently I wrote Judgers. I don't know why I did that. Yes, they are the Judgers. And of course, we have the longest psalm this week with today's reading and tomorrow's reading, Psalm 119. That is 176 verses in one chapter. So I think that is definitely the longest chapter in the Bible. I'm going to talk about finding good people. You guys know what makes a good person? What makes a person? We have these tales in our society that, girls are sugar, spice, and everything nice. And if you want superhero toddlers, then you can add chemical X. But I think guys really got the wrong end of this deal here. Why do girls get the good things and guys get, like, the reject stuff there? Snips, snails, and puppy dog tails. Who came up with this? A woman? Probably. It's certainly very interesting. I don't know really why this saying came about. It might be interesting to look up. But there are things that I think make a good person. Either you have a moral code, you have principles that you live by, whether or not society agrees with those principles. Christianity is a form of moral code. You have an ethical code. This is more applies to society, not necessarily laws, but something that people agree upon that people should do, with like etiquette or what to do in certain situations that most people would do in that particular situation. That doesn't necessarily benefit you, but benefits society as a whole. That's kind of like the difference between ethics and morals. Or you have a religious code. You follow God, you follow His word, you do what your religious upbringing tells you to be. But the question you might be asking yourself is, wait a second, John, Paul, can one person be good? I remember Jesus telling me, only God alone is good. Yes, well, let's talk about that for a second. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but this has to do with the story of the rich young ruler. When he goes up to Jesus, he calls him good teacher. In the sense that good being used as a title here. And in that case, I'd say, no, nobody alone is good except God alone. But there are certainly good qualities we could have. The Bible talks quite extensively of those good qualities. And often, they're not even described as good. They're described as godly. So in that sense, yes, you absolutely can be good by exhibiting those qualities. So what are those qualities? What makes a good person? What makes the girls sugar and spice and everything nice? And so those qualities are mentioned all over the Bible. But we've been reading the Proverbs, right? So if I said, what are the best qualities of a girl? All of you should tell me right now where to go. Where do I go? Proverbs 31. So I actually have a problem with this. It's because Proverbs 31, though the most famous chapter in the book of Proverbs, really ignores the other 30 chapters of, here, listen, son, listen to me. This is how you can be good. So we have 30 chapters of a guy being told how to be good, and we have one chapter, not even the whole chapter, of a girl being told to be good. So you know what that means? Girls don't need as much instruction as guys. But also, these aren't universal properties. You don't have to look at it like, okay, this is specifically for a girl, this is specifically for a guy. I mean, a lot of the stuff that applies to the guy applies to the girl, and a lot of the stuff that applies to the girl applies to the guy. And so even though I'm going to break these down as how we look at them in the sexes, I want you to understand that you don't have to be a guy or a girl to use these qualities. They still apply to you. But looking at Proverbs 31, what makes this woman, the virtuous woman, so virtuous? And though these 17 verses talk about quite a few things, they really boil down to four good traits. Trait number one, she is a woman of faith. Does this apply to woman? No, it applies to the man too. You should be a man of faith. She is not only faithful to God, but she is also faithful to her family. She is caring. She has this servant heart. She knows what needs to be done. All these qualities come with being faithful, not just to God, but also to those around her. She doesn't spite them. She doesn't gossip behind them, or he doesn't gossip. She exhibits the best qualities that come with being a woman of faith. So the second thing it says that we learn about her is the virtuous woman is someone who is honored and also honors. Her children rise up and call her blessed. So does her husband. Her husband praises her name. Let me tell you, I know this woman that's super awesome. I mean, she is so cool, and I can not say enough good things about her. My wife knows her too, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. This woman I'm talking about is my wife. And I believe that she is the woman that best exhibits these two traits. I'm very biased. Sorry, gentlemen. I got the best wife. Oh, David says for me. No, I think this total. But she is a woman that is deserving of honor, especially she knows her value. And as people sitting in this room, that she has value and the most important trait that she has, and that is being a Christian. But also she, as being a Christian, she honors God. And she honors those around her as well. So the virtuous woman is someone who honors and also honors her, honored and honors God. Okay. The virtuous woman is humble. Now, my wife, she tells me she's the most humble person that there is. That's a very humble trait, don't you think? But yes, this is not surprising. This is something we read about quite a bit. Humility is one of the most important traits a Christian can have. You guys remember that little story in the book of Philippians? You got these two women arguing, and he's like, you guys need to encourage these two women to have the mindset of Christ. And one of the very first things he says about them is that he humbled himself. Because what often is the antithesis of humility? Pride. Pride or arrogance. So that's the exact opposite of what we as Christians are supposed to be. We're not supposed to be proud. We're not supposed to be arrogant. But we're supposed to be humble. We're supposed to be kind and selfless. And we have this servant heart. What did Jesus say? If you want to be first, you've got to be last. We must be compassionate and put others above herself, which is why the proverb writes, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She is someone who is humble. And finally, out of all these 17 verses that we read, that the virtuous woman is someone who is devoted. You want to know the difference between faith and devotion? Faith shows you belief. Devotion shows that you are putting your belief into practice. Because as James says, it's not enough for you to have faith, you also have to have the works, because they go together hand in hand. It is more than faith. She is devoted, she works hard, she does what she's supposed to do, she has that servant heart, and she essentially humbles herself by putting everyone else above her. Or in this case, puts God first. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. He says all these things about this woman. And at the very last line he says, but this is what matters. She has all these great qualities, but what makes her better than all the other women is this. She fears the Lord. Now let's talk about the guys. This is going to be a lot harder because the guys need a lot more work. But I'm going to focus on four. Like I said, we had 30 chapters of information on what makes a good guy. But I'm just going to... I don't have all day. I really have a very busy day today. So we'll just talk about four of them. First is what makes a good guy? He must be prudent. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple goes on and suffers for it. So what is prudence? Does everybody know this word? Yeah. Basically means you have wisdom. You don't rush into a situation. You're mindful of your surroundings. You don't really look for trouble, but you consider what's going on based on the knowledge that you have acquired. And if you don't have that knowledge, it's really difficult to be prudent, which is why so much of Proverbs talks about one thing, and that is wisdom, acquiring that wisdom. What's one of the things that they said about the woman? Is that she considers buying the field. 30 chapters on wisdom. One verse for women. Because they've already figured it out. Yes. 30 chapters. I'm not joking here. A good man is someone who is prudent. He doesn't give in to... He has good temperance. Not temptation. Temperance. He's control of his emotions. He's not boastful. He's not hot-headed. He keeps his body under control, like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He understands what's going on because he has good prudence. And he considers the situation. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. So he does what he needs to be done. But prudence or temperance goes a lot with being humble. So if you're humble, you should have good temperance. But he's also an upholder of justice. Now, I'm going to put a clarifier on this one because I'm not talking about what's going on in the world right now. I'm talking about understanding the difference between right and wrong and also doing what you need to do about it, but also letting the Lord do what he needs to do about it. I think that's one of the hardest things. We want to rush in and we want to fix all the problems in the world. We can't. We have special people that do that, and one of them's here right today. But it's not our job to fix the problems in the world. It is our job to really just do one thing, and that is make sure the world knows who is the Lord. But we can also, if we see something wrong, we can say, "Hey, that's not right. You should not do that." Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but those who keep the law strive against them. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. So along with this, the virtuous man is someone who is courageous. Do you know how many times in the Bible it says, do not be afraid? Traditionally, I don't know, it might depend on your translation, but the average number of times it says that particular phrase is 365. So you're basically told that every single day of the year, you can get one of those little monthly calendars, or daily, those things that you peel off every single day, and it's like, every day you could have a phrase that says, do not be afraid. Because you shouldn't have the fear. There is no reason for anyone in this room to be afraid. Why? Because death shouldn't scare us. There's only one thing that we should ever be afraid of, and not even in the way that we look at fear, and that is God. Because how many times does it also say, fear the Lord? Well, that I don't know, but it's quite a bit. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is saved. So these are basically the eight traits. Like I said, I use four for women, I use four for men, but like I said, it doesn't really matter if you're a man or a woman, because all of these should apply to you. Now, wouldn't it be great if we had some good examples of this, that we could look to someone and be like, who exhibits these traits that we could follow, that we could see their example? Well, I look at my wife, because she is definitely the better half of me. But fortunately, we also have two really good examples in our reading this week. I thought this lesson really came together well, because I got to pull from all four books that we were reading from this week to put this together. And that one woman that I think really exhibits all these traits is Ruth. She is faithful. She's faithful to her mother-in-law. Family, being faithful to family, being very important. And she had no reason to be. Because tradition said, what? If your husband died and there was no one else to take it, where did you go? You went back to your mother and father's house. But what did she do? She stayed instead with her mother-in-law. She shows humility. She shows. We see that she is honored. She gets one of the most important honors in all of the world. She gets to be part of the lineage of Jesus. If I'm not correct, I believe that she is one of two women that is mentioned in Luke's lineage. The other one being Rahab. And we also see that she converted, as we read. The second one, a good guy, Joshua. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. No. Ruth wasn't perfect either. But Joshua also exhibited the best traits of when it comes to being a good person. We see that he was prudent in conquering the land. He had the temperance to stand by Moses' side. Can you imagine how much frustration that Moses and Joshua had in dealing with the people? How many times that they would have just said, okay, Lord, I agree with you, get rid of them, because I don't want to deal with them anymore. He was fair. He upheld justice in the dividing of the land. And also, living up to Moses' promise when it came to dealing with the woman who had no male inheritor. And more often than not, we remember Joshua as being told, do not be afraid. All of these made them good people. Good man and a good woman. But do you want to know something else? There's something that made them great. Because we don't remember them for all these things that we just said. We remember them from what we read in the beginning. These two scriptures. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. So important. They were good people. But we remember them not because they were good. We remember them because of this. They feared God. They loved God. Do you fear God? Well, I hope you do and I hope you don't. I hope you don't if you fear God because you're afraid of punishment. But I do hope you fear God for the exact same reason Joshua was told to fear God, that the Proverbs tells you to fear God, that the writer of Ecclesiastes tells you to fear God. Because that doesn't have to do with punishment. It has to do with reverence and respect. But more importantly than fear, I hope you love God. God gives you so many reasons to love. Yes, of course, He tells you to love Him, but that is still your choice. You have so many more reasons to love Him other than the fact that He says you should do this. Most importantly, because He offers you redemption. Never forget that love. Never forget that fear. Do not
or as the, because as the proverb says, it is the beginning of all knowledge. You want to have good wisdom? Start with that. Fear and love God. You don't have to be perfect. You're never going to ever be perfect. But you can definitely love Him, especially because of what He did for you. Your good traits, being a good person, is never going to be enough. But if you understand that love and that fear from God, as we talked about in our Bible class today, you understand what it means to be in that love. That you have redemption, and you get to one day return to Him. Isn't that great? Isn't that amazing? I can't wait for the day. I was talking to Johnny earlier, and Johnny's like, it's like getting old and just doing old person things. I'm like, I'm not looking forward to that part of my life. He goes, well, what about the alternative? I'm like, the alternative is great. I'm not in a hurry to get there, but the alternative is great because I am not afraid. I hope you're not afraid. Is that something we can help you with? If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing this song.